when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents as Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs to the same promise. For he looked forward to a city with foundations, whose architect and builder was God. And verse 13, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. The one God asked Abraham to sacrifice. And we remember Jacob for his betrayals and the man who wrestled with God. What made these two men so similar and yet so very different? Shall we pray? Father, as we look at these two fathers of faith, may we see more of your character and love for each one of us. Amen. Before I had Dominique and Matthew, I was told I could not have children. At a time when all my friends who had children and had taken every precaution not to have more children were having children. It was a particularly painful time. To say that I had several wrestles with God is probably not an exaggeration. I was in emotional agony, and I was angry with God. But at the same time, I would not let go of God. God, in his grace and mercy, allowed me to wrestle, knowing that my faith was small. I could not, at that time, let go and live in faith. He held me tight. In his loving arms, he allowed me to kick and scream until I was exhausted and calmed down. Only then could I pray a prayer of acceptance, submitting to God's will. 2 years later, I held my baby girl in my arms. I recognize that although my faith was small, God was amazingly, endlessly loving and graceful towards me. Fast forward 30 years, and as I reflect on my life, I can see this wrestling with God was repeated several times. Each situation unique, except for the wrestling with God, the questioning, and then final acceptance. My faith walk with God reminds me of Jacob and his wrestling. Recently, I met a PhD student from Newbold at a church I was visiting. He shared with me that his thesis was on the effects of trauma on the Old Testament characters. The concept that Old Testament characters suffered any trauma was something I had never considered. These individuals were super strong. They were men and women of God. Surely they had no trauma. Surely they didn't suffer any long-term effects from the trauma they had suffered. Let's look at a few. Adam and Eve. Evicted from their paradise home and thrust into the shocking reality of living in a sinful world where even nature seemingly turned against them. Mary and Joseph, unmarried with a child on the way, the baby born in a stable, strangers visiting them with treasures, and having to flee at night to Egypt to save the child's life. Joseph, rejected, sold, accused, imprisoned unjustly, and seemingly forgotten. Daniel, in a foreign land, fed to lions. Of course, these young men and women of God suffered trauma. These mighty men and women of God lived by faith and not by sight. They didn't live their lives based on how they felt. Hebrews 11, verse 13 says, "All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth." Every character in the Bible experienced trauma, had a promise of a better day to come, and without proof, had to accept this promise. In Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance in what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for." In 1 Kings 17, we have the story of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. This was not a Hebrew city. God sends Elijah to a foreign city, only telling him that a widow in this foreign city, a city of Baal worshippers, would feed him. God sent Elijah to the poorest person in the city, a widow with a young son. She's collecting wood for their last meal before starving. God then asks this widow through Elijah, God then asks this widow who worships Baal through Elijah to feed Elijah. Not the surplus that she has, not what she has in her pantry, but the last ingredients, the very last meal for her and her son. The widow does this on Elijah's say-so, that his God, a foreign God, would provide for them until the drought is broken. Abraham, the spiritual father of Jews, Christians, and Muslims, is considered a man of great faith. In Genesis 12 to 22, we have a detailed account of his life, and I'm sure we are all familiar with that. Abraham had great faith, with two exceptions. He lied about his wife being his sister, and he tried to give God a helping hand. God told Abram to pack his household and move to a place God would show him in the future. He did not ask Abram to pack a camel and go on a short journey. He asked Abram to pack up his entire household, the livestock, the servants, and all his belongings, and go to a foreign land which God would show him in the future. That takes great faith. Once the promised child had arrived, the child Abram had waited 100 years for, God asked Abram to sacrifice the same child. Abram did not debate with God. He did not try to strike a deal with God. He packs for the journey, takes his son, and obeys. Now, we all know the story well. Interestingly, Isaac's life and Jacob's lives are different. Let's compare Abraham's faith, Isaac's, and Jacob's. Isaac's life is almost a copy of Abraham's life. Isaac and his wife Rebekah experience a famine in their land. They decide to move to Egypt. And on the way, God instructs Isaac in a dream that they should not go to Egypt, but remain in Gerar, where they encounter Abimelech, king of the Philistines. This is a different king to the one Abraham had lied to. But Isaac also lies to Abimelech about his wife being his sister. Abimelech also finds out that Rebekah is Isaac's wife, and they are asked to leave. God reiterates the promise he made to Abraham, confirming the promise that will be fulfilled through Isaac. In Genesis 26, Isaac is in Gerar, living under Abimelech, king of the Philistines. In verse 3 we read, "Stay in the land for a while, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands and will confirm the oath I swore to your father, Abraham." Isaac was exceedingly wealthy and was very powerful during a time when the country was in famine. Isaac redug the wells his father Abraham had dug, and ultimately Abimelech comes to Isaac to sign a treaty because Isaac had become more powerful and more wealthy than Abimelech. Isaac, like Abraham, obeyed God without questioning. Isaac only questioned where the lamb for the sacrifice would come from. He believed that God would fulfill his covenant promise through him. And then we have Jacob. Right from birth, Jacob has a different character to the character of Abraham and Isaac. The second born of twins, he's born holding his brother's heel, and even his name means the deceiver. He stole his brother's birthright by making a deal when Esau was weak with hunger. Jacob leaves home, flees to his uncle Laban because he deceived his father and thereby stole Esau's birthright and blessing. A very different life to that of his father Isaac and his grandfather Abraham. In Genesis 28, Jacob is fleeing to Laban, his uncle. He has deceived his father, and his brother Esau is probably after him to kill him. Jacob is alone and must feel like a fugitive. In verses 10 to 15, God appears to Jacob in a dream. He reiterates the conversation promised to Abraham and Isaac. "Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth." In verse 15, God promises Jacob, the deceiver, the one now fleeing for his life, that he will be with him wherever he goes, that he will bring Jacob back to that place, reinforcing the promise to Jacob by adding, "I will not leave you until all this has been completed." Jacob seems to turn a corner in his life and his faith in God. Jacob works faithfully for 20 years for Laban, although Laban deceived Jacob when he married his daughter and changed his wages regularly. But Jacob becomes very wealthy and powerful, even though Laban keeps changing his wages. He is blessed in unfavorable times. For 20 years, God had been reshaping Jacob's character and his faith in God. Now a different Jacob, a changed man, packs up his household, returns home. He has been blessed, just as God has promised. He, like Isaac, prospered against the odds during an unfavorable time. On the way back, out of fear, Jacob divides his household and his servants, sending them in different directions as a strategy to save some of them should Esau, his brother, attack. Once again, Jacob is alone, just like he was on his way to Laban 20 years before. Instead of a dream, a ladder, and a promise to be blessed, this time Jacob spends the night wrestling with God. God could easily have overpowered Jacob, but he allowed Jacob to wrestle until daybreak. Even then, Jacob would refuse to let God go without blessing him. We've briefly touched on the life of Abraham, but what have we got out of these three characters that we know so well that we can take away with us today? Not trusting God and his timing has long-lasting consequences. Abram wasn't perfect. He made very regrettable decisions. God's faithfulness endures, regardless of bad decisions and regrettable ones. Abram lived by faith. His faith was formed when he was with God. The foundation of all he did was based on his faith. Abram's faith became part of his DNA. As parents and guardians of the next generation, we have a responsibility to be faithful. In Genesis 26, verse 4 and 5, God tells Isaac that he will be blessed because of the faithfulness of his father Abraham. Earlier I asked, what made Isaac and Jacob so different and yet so similar? Isaac was the second son of Abraham, and Jacob was also the second son of Isaac. Both men sinned. Both received the assurance of God's favor and protection. Both received the promise that through them, the promise God made to Abraham would be fulfilled, and that their descendants would be as the dust of the earth. And what about their faith? Isaac's faith was deep. He trusted God's promises and even had a willingness to obey in the face of certain death. Although being deceived by Jacob, Isaac acknowledged God's sovereignty and the fulfillment of God's word regarding the older serving the younger. Let's look at Genesis 28, verse 1 to 5. So Isaac called Jacob and blessed him. Then he commanded him, "Do not marry a Canaanite woman. Go at once to Paddan Aram, to the house of your mother's father, Bethuel. Take a wife for yourself there from among the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and increase your numbers until you become a community of people. May he give you and your descendants the blessing given to Abraham so that you may take possession of the land where you now reside as a foreigner, and the land God gave Abraham." Then Isaac sent Jacob on his way, and he went to Paddan Aram, to Laban. This indicates Isaac's willingness to submit to God's will, even when it was difficult and painful. Isaac demonstrates an acceptance of God's will. He blesses Jacob a second time after being deceived, before Jacob leaves for Laban. Isaac's faith was quiet, steadfast. Isaac's faith was a lived-in faith. Isaac did not question. Jacob's faith, just like his character at the start, was very different. Jacob's faith was not part of his normal character. Jacob took after his mother's side of the family. Rebekah was the initiator of the deception of her husband, Isaac, so that Jacob could receive, or rather steal, his brother's birthright and blessing. Laban, Rebekah's brother, deceives Jacob, and Jacob's wife, Rachel, deceives her father, Laban. This is a family filled with deceit and taking advantage of each other. Jacob encountered God directly twice. by both times Jacob was under threat of being killed because of a result of his own deceit. Jacob did not believe that he was worthy of God's love, his favor, or his blessing. Jacob's faith was complex and multifaceted, marked by both human flaws and divine grace. As we consider these two fathers of faith and our own personal faith journeys, perhaps it's time for us to set a proverbial rock in the timeline of our lives. If, like me, you have wrestled with God and had a complex and multifaceted faith experience, perhaps now, even today, is the time to choose to accept God's promises, promises that He is true, that He is faithful, and that He wants to bless each one of us personally. It's time to stop wrestling and quietly accept that God is faithful, God is true, and God is love. Allow God to put His loving arms around you and hold you. Live as Isaac did. Live knowing that God is with you and will be with you wherever you go. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Deirdre, for remembering the grace we have received. May we love God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.